Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM-ACAM-A4M of NutraMedical.com and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. The NutraMedical Report, and we have the illustrious, the amazing Josh Bernstein. His website, if you want to listen to his shows, which are great videos, is at Patreon, patreon.com/Josh Bernstein. Josh, you have lots of comments to make about the latest political scene. We are waiting with bated breath. A week from now, Trump is going to make his nominee. We have two Supreme Court justices decisions, which I want you to go over. And we have the incivility issue that's happening as well. Take your pick, and let's rock and roll.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that are going on right now. I think more than anything else, for the Supreme Court, you're looking at...
I think there's an open mic at the studio, so I think... Okay. Yeah, okay, there's a sound in the background there. I guess it's maybe the
Josh. Yeah, let me fix that. There we go. Is that better?
That's much better. That's much better. There was a sound in the background. Okay, Josh, go ahead.
So I was saying, I think that there's a couple of things that you can look at for the Supreme Court. First and foremost, I think the leading candidate is probably going to be Brett Kavanaugh. This is somebody that worked on the Ken Starr investigation team, was actually responsible for the impeachment of Bill Clinton, so he's very controversial in that respect, but also a clerk for Anthony Kennedy and someone that has very good decisions and dissensions as well. So you always want to look at a judge and you want to see what they dissent on, not necessarily what they agree on. And excellent legal mind, excellent legal scholar, I think is first choice and would be a great, great choice. The other one, there is two women that are being considered as well, and one of them is Amy Coney Barrett. She's very, very young, about 45 years old. And by the way, anyone that is picked is going to be probably less than 55 years old, which is great because that means that they'll be able to serve for a very, very long time, which is what we want. Amy Coney Bryant is someone that is pretty young. She's also someone that's being considered. I don't know a lot about her. I'm not sure there's a ton of information out there about her. I know that she had a contentious confirmation hearing with Dianne Feinstein and some others that were trying to give her a religious litmus test because she has seven children and she's very Catholic. But that's about the extent of what I know. There's also an Indian-American who was born in Michigan, Amar Thapool, I believe his name is.
Right.
Don't know a lot about him other than the fact that he is for very hard sentencing. I did see that. He actually recently sentenced a nun who was 84 years old, of all things, who was protesting and throwing fake blood or something on a protest at a nuclear uranium facility in Tennessee. He actually sentenced her to 3 years in prison at 84 years old. So he has shown that he's a no-holds-barred, tough guy type of judge. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot. I don't think it's going to be Thomas Hardiman. I know that people have said that he's in the running, but He didn't get picked last time, and I don't necessarily think he's going to get picked this time. For the folks that want Mike Lee, who I think would be the easiest confirmation, I don't see him being picked either because, according to what I have heard, it's coming from the circuit court.
Right. Well, that's interesting. I'll throw a little comment in here. I honestly think whatever conservative judge is picked, probably in two or three years, is going to be a case winds for the Supreme Court regarding Roe versus Wade. I'm going to bone up on my specific legal help with my pro se litigant expert, Dr. Fred Graves. And what he told me, because he knows the Supreme Court justices personally, is that it was actually just a decision. It wasn't a law. It was actually just an opinion. And he said if it had been passed 3 years later, which is when ultrasound was available at Harvard and my medical school, Dalhousie, which is a sister medical school in Canada for the Harvard University, and I was trained in ultrasound in the mid-70s, one of the first doctors in the world. And his opinion was, by the legal experts, if it had been, they tried to push this through when the ultrasound was available, it would fail. And in fact, in Oklahoma, where it's a law that even if a woman signed for an abortion, she has to see an ultrasound, 78% of women who've already signed to do the abortion don't do it. So my guess is, firstly, the federal issue is going to go away, probably around 2021. I don't think it'll happen in the first term of Trump. And it won't have anything to do with Trump, to be honest. He's just going to put a conservative justice in there. He'll just rule from the bench of what's going on. It's not, quote, like some of the liberals that try to say confirmed law. It's not law, actually. It was just an opinion. And then second thing, it'll go back to the states. We are only one of seven countries that does abortion to the moment of delivery. I would expect that most of the states will try to tamp it down to say you can't abort beyond the 20th week. But 20 to 25 states are probably going to outlaw abortion in the after the 2020 election. That's my impression. And you're going to see the conservative base if he gets the conservative justice in there, and it won't happen right away. It'll take a year or two. At least my guess is the judgment won't even be passed down until after the 2020 elections. But to be honest with you, that's only a minor issue. There's lots of other issues. The left wants to get rid of ICE. The left wants open borders. The left wants to allow, you know, all kinds of crazy things going on in society. For example, I think in Washington, D.C., they want to give the vote to 16-year-olds. Well, if 16-year-olds shouldn't have a vote if they're denied rights, even when they're 18, in some states where they're not even going to be able to carry a gun. So I think there's going to be tons of issues. This is just one of many issues that getting back to conservative law, especially the move by even the Pope and uber leftists, which are taking over the party with Ocasio-Cortez and Kirsten Gillibrand and others, I think they're committing geopolitical suicide because trying to get rid of ICE and have nothing to replace it with and trying to have open borders with incredible crime. I mean, if you look at the statistics, just in the last month, the number of thousands of criminals removed from America, and these are rapists, murderers, etc., and there's no ICE, you've got to be kidding. And if you actually look at the list, a lot of the things that people list aren't ICE duties, they're actually Border Patrol duties.
Right.
So it's obvious that they're not even boned up on the facts of who does what job. So to be honest with you, when Trump passed this executive order, which is just a temporary stopgap, and he's smart, I don't think anything is going to happen to immigration until after the 2018 election. But my stats so far, and I think I'm going to be proved correct, we're probably going to gain about six conservative Trump-supporting senators and about 14 Congress critters, I call them. Instead of people, I call Congress critters. And a lot of the GOP Congress critters that are leaving are going to be replaced by Trump-supporting congressional people. So the number of people that are going to support Trump in agendas after the 2018 election is going to enormously increase. So he's going to ramp it up. And I'm telling you, I'm more amazed every day what Trump's doing. I'm really, this guy is, he's not sticking to any kind of script. Yeah, whether it's North Korea or anything, it's like, Jesus, he pivots. He's going to meet Putin shortly, which is going to be great. It's going to reduce the ever-increasing danger of a thermonuclear war down the road. He's meeting with Xi, who has a good relationship. He liked his chocolate cake in Mar-a-Lago. Your comments, go ahead. I mean, go ahead.
My comments are this. As far as, you know, the illegal immigration issue and all that, it's been proven that if you don't kowtow to the illegal immigrants, the legal immigrants will actually support you. And he's up over 10 percentage points right now in Hispanic support right off the bat. Right. The other thing is that this is not going, this midterm election, this is not going to be what I call a swing election. A swing election is when the entire country is motivated, and in particular, the independents will really and truly make the difference in who controls Congress. That's not happening here, okay? This election is purely a base election, 100% as the way it sits right now. And it's just going to be, do Republicans and conservatives want to continue the winning, continue the march towards liberty and freedom and the dismantling of the horrific 8-year assault that we were just put under? Or
right.
are we going to sit home and be complacent and apathetic and say, well, you know, Trump's doing a good job, so we don't need to vote?
No, we gotta go out there and vote
like crazy.
I think that the base is activated with this.
Isn't as motivated right now.
What you're saying now, I think the base is getting motivated by the uber left, Ocasio-Cortez, Kristen Gillibrand, and a battle inside the Democrats is activating the base.
Most of you know that.
Welcome back. So, Josh, you got lots to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to mute this video that just played automatically. But look, it looks like the left has taken over in Mexico with another illegal victory for another dictator. And now we have a dictator close to being south of the border with this Andrés Manuel López Obrador saying that he has now taken over. He wants to flood America with illegal immigrants. You know, it's amazing to me. I know we haven't been at war with Mexico or anything like that, but they certainly have been at war with us. They have been creating an atmosphere, an animus, an animosity that is consistent with, you know, being a territorial enemy. And I hate to say that, but it's true. And we're going to have to deal. We've got two enemies. You know, they like to say that America is sandwiched between Mexico and Canada and that somehow all three of these countries work together. No, these are countries that are enemies of America. Now, maybe people won't see it that way, but I always tell the truth. And when you have someone like Justin Trudeau, who is a outright communist socialist, Marxist, whatever, who wants to flood his own country and destroy his own country from within with immigrants from all around the world and outside Canada without any borders coming in, where do you think a lot of those people are going to go? They're going to go into America. We need to have a wall built on the northern border as well as the southern border. Now we've got this radical leftist Marxist leader, Obrador, in Mexico, and he's going to try to flood America with more illegals because obviously he's going to crack down. He's going to be a corrupt leader, as they all are in Mexico and in Central America and South America. So nothing's going to change from that standpoint. And what's going to happen is the people are going to flood into this country. We need to have a double wall, one on the southern border, one on the northern border. I believe in isolationism 100%, especially in the year 2018 and beyond, because globalism is going to kill America. It's already killed Western Europe and the 28 or 29 countries that are part of the Western European Union. We're seeing a movement in Europe right now in which they are getting away from the European Union. You're seeing some of these younger, more charismatic, pragmatic, anti-illegal immigration leaders propping up in Western Europe. And when is the left and the Mexicans in particular, when are they going to learn that leftism and Marxism has never worked? Why do they keep going back and trying the same old stupid thing that has failed miserably everywhere? Now we've got elements of that here in America with this socialist communist leader that won in New York. Again, I don't usually agree with Nancy Pelosi, but I will say that I agree with her on this one, that it was just one district in New York. But New York and L.A. and California and in the East Coast and all that, they are filled with these same types of Bernie Sanders type socialist communists. And that's the danger, because as we get older, the older generations that are more conservative, we have this younger generation that is in love with Che Guevara and socialism, and they're going to be our future leaders one day. And that should scare everybody.
So I got a little tune on that. People your age and my age are going to stop getting older. And what's going to happen to the young generation, they're going to have a conniption. It's not just the birth rate that's dropped. The death rate's going to drop dramatically. And you're going to see a larger and larger percent of the population will be over 40. And you'll see this happen in young people. When they're a teenager, they're in college, going to these leftist universities, and when they get into their 30s and 40s and try to run their own business and actually have a life, they become more conservative. So the fact is, as people age, these socialist, communist ideas are really drilled out of them by reality. And I honestly think you're going to see in the next 20 years, especially when Trump stacks the court, it's going to be the end of the left. The left, in terms of social communism, is going to be finished in this country.
Well, you paint a rosy picture, and you know, from your lips to God's ears, I'd hope you'd be right. But understand that the Mexico and the Mexican media right now is reporting that Mexico has chosen another, quote, populist leader in López Obrador as its next president. Notice they use the word populist, because here's what the left does. The left is very good with language. And if you look at history, any of these communist dictators have all been, quote, pseudo-populists. I'm for the people. I'm going to help the people. I'm going to be there for the people. I'm going to give to the people. Just look what giving and being there for the people as a populist has done to places like Venezuela and Bolivia.
Or Cuba.
And Guatemala and Honduras and all these other countries around the world. It's the same exact playbook. You could take the playbook and throw it in a desk and then reopen it 50 to 75 to 100 years from now, and it will never, ever change. Lie to the common folk. Lie to the peasants. Tell them that you're going to be there for them. Tell them that you're going to give them everything and that you'll take care of them, and then they'll vote for you, and then you can control them. This is the same playbook that has worked throughout history that has led to millions upon millions upon millions of deaths and executions and murders and rapes and pillages and everything else. And again, all you have to do is crack open a history book to see it.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting, isn't it? This one, Ocasio-Cortez in New York, she grew up in a relatively rich enclave in New York. And what we really realize is that these people are no different than the communists that destroyed the Soviet Union, killed, they estimate, up to 60 million or 100 million in China with the rise of Mao Zedong. People don't understand that communism, social communism, always fails. I have not only friends, relatives, and customers up in Canada, and they're freaked out by Justin Trudeau. Apparently he's up next year. His popularity has really dropped. Canadians are really sick of it. Both British Columbia and Alberta, they're some of the best economies in Canada, are destroyed by the NDP. People don't understand it's the same damn thing. You can't have the government take over things like health care and have the anti-Midas touch. It turns into horse manure. Yeah, you got health care. You got hangnail medicine at the speed of light, but if you have anything serious, or if you have a need for care beyond a certain age, or they rate your Apache score because you're 5 years older than someone else that needs a special machine in the intensive care unit, you're dead. Okay? So guess what, people? It's not health care. It's health-ish, ISH care. They'll give you, an antibiotic if you've got a minor virus where you don't need an antibiotic, you need an antiviral. They'll give you crappy care and no advancement in medical care. But at the same time, you can get really quick access to something for a hangnail. But you got something serious, you're screwed. Okay.
I always ask liberals this question when they talk about how wonderful the government is. I always ask them this. I say, what went wrong in your life? Where did you go wrong in your life? How come your life has become so bankrupt that you can't think for yourself, do for yourself, and want to succeed for yourself without the hand of government being there for you? You know, why is it that you can't take yourself and pick yourself up from the bootstraps and go out there and make a living for yourself? Why is it that you're so dependent on someone else? And do you understand that having that dependency on the government has stripped you of your freedoms? And you have to just explain to me. You have to say nothing is free. There is no free health care. There's no free education. No free this or that. It all comes from the price.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Amazing analysis. Very simple. It's unfortunately ugly what's going on in Canada, and it's going to end soon with Justin Trudeau gone next year. Josh, you have lots more to say. By the way, we're going to convert this audio to a video. I have the tech capacity because I'm, you know, it doesn't require a high IQ or whatever to do this. You just have to be stubborn and get the proper tech training and so on. And if you're persistent, and I've learned to use Adobe Premiere Pro and Adobe Audition and other software, and I've got a live stream premium channel to Vimeo now, and the techs, and I just went and had some more training yesterday. So we can do all kinds of good stuff, and it doesn't require a genius. You just have to be persistent. And we need to get the truth out to people. Like, we want dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care how far left somebody is. If I could sit down with Ocasio-Cortez, this young lady who wants to do good, but she's obviously a little manic depressive. She's kind of like over the top. The way she pops her eyes and so on, you say, okay, there's a little touch of mental illness here that she thinks somehow she's like this white knight S, that she's going to fix everything. You need to fix things like poverty. I believe in things like, for example, reverse tax. I don't want social welfare, or I want workfare, F-A-I-R. Okay? I want to see things like a controlled border where by a certain date, we're going to call Immigration Day, the industry and the states have to put in numbers for specific people at specific jobs with certain skill sets, either for work or for possible citizenship. But if they can't be vetted, whether they're from Russia or Ukraine or wherever they are, you can't become a citizen. You have to be vetted to prove that you're going to be integrated in society. And I also see America as the opportunity to make a new version, for example, of Islam. I think that idea that Macron had was kind of clever. Rewrite the Quran and pull out the bad parts of it, and you know, monitor the imams if they're doing bad stuff. I want to see a more moderate version of Islam in America. That's an American version that's not crazy. You know, it's like the Catholic Church back when they're killing the Albigensians and the other people in southern France 500 years ago, which, by the way, they tried to stomp out the Protestant Reformation, and it was actually Islam that stopped it. It was the first jihad, if you want to call it. And the fact is that what we want is we want rationality. We don't want incivility. So when I say, for example, that I want, you know, protect myself and my family with, say, pepper spray if I'm at a restaurant, I have a right to protect myself. And I think it's terrible when politicians get so over the top that even their own political party, like when Schumer and Pelosi are telling Maxine to tone it down, and she doesn't, she actually goes even further.
Right. I couldn't believe what she said.
I can't believe what she said. Like, if you're going to shoot straight, I'm thinking, you're kidding.
She's actually...
And a wounded animal thing, I'm thinking,
hang on.
This is the kind of talk that if I was actually interviewing her in a psychiatric hospital or an emergency department, she'd be in a posy jacket heading off to a psych ward with a shot of antipsychotic in her right butt cheek.
She's actually inciting violence against herself. She even said, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to try to hang me, if you're going to try to beat me, if you're going to try to do this, do that, maybe you better shoot straight. It's as if she's inciting violence, as if she wants to be some kind of, I don't know, like a political martyr or something. It's kind of really freaky when you think about it.
That is kind of weird. I mean, firstly, politics in the 21st century shouldn't involve political martyrdom. It should involve dialogue, right?
Well, let me touch on something else.
Go ahead. Please continue.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on something else. Recently, Stuttering John from the Howard Stern Show fame recently made news and headlines because he did a prank call to President Trump on Air Force One in which he pretended to be Senator Bob Menendez from New Jersey. And President Trump took the call and he said, you know, hey, you know, congratulations on beating the rap. That was a tough rap against you and probably unfair, blah, 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 blah. So he's saying, thank you, Mr. President, this and that. And they're talking, and Senator John asks him, you know, please don't pick a real conservative justice for the Supreme Court.
And Trump says, well, you know, there's a lot of great choices out there, and we're going to pick the best person and this and that. And he goes, yeah, but please don't pick a real conservative person, okay? Don't pick a real conservative person. And Trump did not falter, okay? Trump did not falter. He said, you know, we're going to do our due diligence. We've got some great candidates lined up, and don't worry, we're going to pick a real good candidate. He didn't say, don't worry about it, Bob. I'm really not going to pick a conservative. I'm going to find a moderate liberal, right? So yeah. What this conversation did, and obviously the Secret Service is involved, and they've now contacted Stuttering John and are investigating it. But what this showed more than anything else, and maybe nobody else in the media is really covering this or pointing this out, is it showed that President Trump is a truth warrior. He tells the truth. He's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He already now has a proven track record of keeping the truth, which is fantastic, because no politician typically does that. But right. More than anything else, he didn't know that the cameras were quote-unquote on him and that this was a fake call, and he still did the right thing, and he didn't kowtow to the pressure of a supposedly left-wing senator in Bob Menendez, who was actually Stuttering John. So I wanted to point that out to people because it shows you that President Trump is going to do what's right. He's going to stick to his values and his principles, and he's going to put America first. And this was just another clear and concise example of that.
Yeah, in other words, Trump is Trump. I like the comment of his son while he was being elected, and he said, you know, my dad is a blue-collar billionaire. And what he says he does, he gets his hard hat down and goes down to the work sites where they're putting glass or steel or putting up different things. Even when he took over the job of putting the rink in Central Park, from the city that screwed it up, he got it under budget and done very quickly. And my guess is by the fall, either before or right after the 2018 elections, he's going to get his funding and the wall's going to go up. And this guy Obrador is going to get a face-to-face meeting with Trump, and he's going to have to start doing and getting a reality check on his idea of immigrating every Mexican or acting as a cross-border transfer point for anybody from Central America, Africa, or anywhere else that's going through Mexico. A lot of people think they're all just Central Americans. There's a lot of people from the Middle East and coming elsewhere that go through the Mexican border to America. People don't know that, do they?
No, they don't. And you know what I find amazing is that if you're found to be an illegal alien in the country of Mexico, it is a felony, okay? To actually go to prison. If you're found to be an illegal alien in Mexico twice, you're going to prison for 10 years hard labor. So my question to the law is, why is it that America's immigration laws are less important to Mexico's or Central America's? Answer me that question. And where was the outrage for 8 years when Barack Obama was putting children in cages, giving them psychotropic drugs, and wrapping them up in tinfoil for 8 years, implementing Bill Clinton's law, by the way? And now here we are, President Trump is getting the blame for something that Obama did, and the media is too disingenuous to point that out, so we have to continue to point these things out. And for the folks over there at Right Wing Watch, why don't you ever point something like that out? Because you're all a bunch of chickens, that's right.
Well, I've had a lot of bad press about bad on Facebook and bad calls to my office here and emails, but not balls to think I'm kind of a violent, bad doctor that I'm going to harm people. First off, I'm a Hebrew Christian. I like to call myself a Hebrew Christian. It's pro-life, and I don't want to harm anybody. But believe me, do not try to harm me or my family. And I'm going to just defend myself. But I have no intention of either threatening a person or persons or anybody. If they're protesting and they're at a distance and they're not going to come surround me at a gas station or a bar or start spitting in my face 6 inches from my face, go ahead. But if you start doing violence, what do you expect? I mean, anybody, even, for example, the Koreans during the 1993 riots, remember, in Los Angeles? The Koreans were smart. They put people with shotguns on their roof, and they would go click, click with the shotgun, and they didn't have to fire one shotgun shell. Nobody broke into their stores, and nobody harmed any of the Koreans. They were smart. They put them up on the roof, and they go click, click. So, you know, when people make statements of, oh, you're a bad doctor, you're a mean guy, no. No, I'm an American patriot. And I do believe in defending myself if I'm physically put in danger, or someone surrounds me, my family, and spits in your face and threatens to beat you. Guess what? Not going to happen. But I have no intentions of harming anybody. But don't try to bring it, as they say now. Don't bring it. How's that?
Want revenge?
Other people is fine because. And welcome back. So, So, Josh, we're back, and get some more comments to make about what's going on this week. Yeah.
If you look at the Drudge Report right now, here's just another example of Mad Maxine and her craziness. A man allegedly threatens to chop up Rand Paul and his family with an axe.
Whoa.
Believe this? A man is accused of threatening to chop up U.S. Senator Rand Paul and his family with an axe. The man has been arrested. He allegedly called in the threats to Paul's Bowling Green office. Paul mentioned the attack publicly at an event in Litchfield, Kentucky on Monday. Capitol Police have issued an arrest warrant for a man who threatened to kill me and chop me up and my family with an axe. Just absolutely sick. More of the left's violent rages, I'm assuming, and again, you know, maybe he was a righty, but I doubt it. I mean, I haven't had a chance to look through all of that, but it seems as though that's the case. And,
it doesn't matter to me if they're left or right.
It really doesn't. I mean, you cannot,
it doesn't matter. But what we find in university is the left that does this. They want to... Yeah, go
you
ahead.
You can't threaten a public figure. It doesn't matter. You're right. Whether they're a conservative, whether they're a Democrat, whether they're a Republican, a liberal, a progressive, a Marxist, whatever... They're a public figure. I'm a public figure. We're public figures. You cannot threaten us. It's against the law. And this needs to stop. And it needs to stop, quite frankly. President Trump needs to do something about this.
Yeah, I think we even need to make a statement from Trump that we don't even want anybody to threaten Mad Maxine. I think the lady needs a vacation, or she needs a psychiatrist and maybe some natural nutraceuticals to help her overactive adrenals or her brain hormones or something, because obviously she's been in politics for a while. If you're that long in politics, these are the kind of things that are no-go zones. Like, why would you say this kind of stuff to harm yourself?
It's crazy. Let me add something about Mad Max. Mad Maxine is exactly that. She is absolutely crazy. Omar Navarro, good close buddy of mine, I've done speaking engagements with him. He's running in the 43rd district in her district, who, by the way, Mad Maxine lives in a $4.2 million mansion outside of her district. I have instructed Omar Navarro and his team to place ads, big billboard ads, one at LAX International Airport and another one as close to her house as humanly possible, that says right on the top, Mad Maxine, you know, Maxine Waters, why do you live in a $4.2 million mansion here instead of serving and living where your constituents are here, and then showing a picture of, you know, her district and the poverty and the crime and everything else, and then her phone number to her office saying, please call Maxine Waters and ask her why she lives in a $4.2 million mansion instead of in her district, and how she expects to be down with her district and know what goes on in her district when she doesn't even live there. I've told Omar's campaign team to do that. Hopefully they're going to do that, because could you imagine putting a big giant ad on a billboard up at LAX International Airport, so when people come in, that's the first thing they see? You got to fight these people by bloodying their noses politically. I don't mean physically, but I mean politically. Because the left and the MoveOn.orgs and the right-wing watches and the People for the Un-American Way and all these other left-wing radical groups, do you think that they're going to use decorum or civility in their attack ads? Hell no, they won't.
Well, see, I believe in protest. I think it's good. I believe in public dialogue, like on a radio show. In fact, I beg people to call in. If the leftists call in and didn't get into the hominem attacks, I let them say whatever they're going to say. I have plans, for example, for health care, immigration, whatever. You can ask me anything, and it's humane and colorblind. I don't care what color or what nation they came from. What I am concerned about is civility. And what I'm concerned about now is that the situation has got so out of hand that for example, the kind of crazy calls we've had to our office here have suggested somehow I want to make a counter threat specifically to specific people if they go protest me. Protest all you want, but stay downtown or at a distance. Don't come through my gated community, come up to my house. Don't spit in my face while I'm trying to eat dinner. Don't try to do things that are not protesting. They are harassment. Harassment is not okay. And what I see happening is I'm not going to counter a threat and say, in fact, I want Maxine to be protected. I think she needs to be protected from herself. And even Schumer and Pelosi should realize this is destroying the Democratic Party. If you want to have a counter to Trump, this is not what you do. You don't have people like Ocasio-Cortez saying, hey, it's a good idea to have open borders and no ICE. Oh, my God, look, in her own city, I think was it last month, ICE removed 5,000 criminals. 2,000 of them were rapists and murderers. It's like, are you kidding me? You want these people to go out of, you won't be able to open your door.
Right.
And then they want to take away our guns, too. On top of that, they want to take away our personal defense. Are you kidding me? Women, especially, if you're in an underground thing, getting your car or whatever, and you got a 260-pound male and you're a 120-pound female, the great leveler is the fact that women usually are better shot with a handgun than a man. Let me tell you, he's not going to rape you in a parking garage if you whip out your concealed carry. It's not going to happen, okay? And not that women want to do this, but just like when I saw the NRA representative for the National Rifle Association, Losh, this is a logical woman. She's basically saying, you know, so when I hear comments like out of about 15 things that Ocasio-Cortez says, about four of them I could start dialoguing with her right away. The rest of them are obviously someone who is either a straight-up communist, as basically has not studied history, or mentally ill. There's something wrong. She looks to me, just in her observation and her body language, like someone that's manic depressive.
Well, honestly. Look, Ocasio is a result of the public education system that
right.
has rewritten history, that has revised history in the textbooks, and they have somehow glorified that socialism works somewhere, although we can't find anywhere in the world.
It never works.
So here's the thing. She may have good intentions, but the execution of those intentions are absolutely horrifically bad, and that's why she needs to be stopped politically from gaining any kind of foothold in Congress and or beyond that. She even mentioned that she wanted to be president. Look, I don't think she's going to be a serious threat, and I don't think that more and more these types are going to come forward. But
who's a candidate for
the Communist Party behind her?
Yeah, of course, that's why they don't even name themselves communists anymore. They just go in and infiltrate the Democrats. Who's the candidate?
The Socialists of America are the ones that did all the grassroots for her. They did all the door knocking. They did all the sign hanging. They did it all. And again, their philosophy on government doesn't work. It never has worked. And
it
so
never will
says,
work.
Right. It can't work. It can't mathematically work, really, if you think about it. You know, here, let me give you a quick example.
Sure.
Let's say you're a little kid, okay, and you're, I don't know, 10 years old, and you got your red, what is it called, the radio flyer wagon, right?
Yeah.
So you go over to your friend's house, and your friend goes, wow, man, I love that new wagon. Hey, can I have a ride in it? And you go, yeah, sure, no problem. So what do? You take your friend around to the next friend's house. And you knock on their door. Hey, check out my new red wagon. And they go, wow, that's an awesome wagon. Hey, can I have a ride in it too? Yeah, sure, Tim. And all of a sudden, it's a little heavier, folks. It's a little heavier, but he can still manage. He can still manage to get to that third person's house. So he pulls that little red radio flyer wagon over to the third house. And he sees his other buddy. And he says, you know, check out my wagon. He goes, wow, that's an awesome wagon. Can I have a ride? And he jumps in. Now you've got three people in the radio flyer red wagon. And all of a sudden, the person who's driving it, guess what? It's too heavy to pull. That's what socialism is, folks. Okay? That's the best example I can give you.
That's a good one. The fact is, I believe in things like workfare. Let's say someone doesn't have the skill sets or the IQ or even just the background or training or fatherly and relative support to pick up skill sets so they can earn more than some number of dollars. I believe in a reverse tax. I believe in things that don't control housing prices but have regulations that allow you to get reasonable housing. Here in California, the housing regulations are insane. The latest, for example, the maniacs did up in Sacramento was to add regulations that every new home has to have solar. Are you kidding me? And also they're going to restrict water. They've actually got a law already passed that I think is 22 years from now, that they're going to cut down to every person, every home, 55 gallons. Are you kidding me? That means you'll have to take a sponge bath and you won't be able to wash your clothes. It's like socialism doesn't work. We got primary water. We can make things work so everybody has a decent meal and a decent home. But socialism doesn't work, ever, including healthcare. And the same as it invades healthcare, you got a bunch of pinheads that'll provide minimal care and improper models and expense for everybody. And if you got something serious, you're done. No kidding. I've worked in the Canadian healthcare system. I've worked in the U.S., and there's night and day, let me tell you. And believe me, insurance carriers can be monitored to make sure that you don't become Canadian-like and dictate to doctors or state licensing authorities that pretend that they know better than the doctor and patient. They don't. Thank you, Josh. Amazing analysis. I like the red wagon. That was a good one.
That can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.